Stephanie Laska. Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Keto Podcast. I lost 140 pounds by continuing to enjoy my favorite light beer, tortillas, and chocolate. I believe you can have your sugar-free cake and eat it too. You don't have to be perfect on the keto diet to be successful at losing weight. Your journey on Dirty Lazy Keto, it starts today. Is the keto diet safe for diabetics, folks? Well, you want to look at the Dirty Keto Diet weight loss results to help you answer that question. I'm going to welcome to the show a very special friend today, Aileen Evan. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And I'm really excited to pronounce your name correctly. It is Aileen. And so make sure you correct me if I say it wrong. It's not Eileen. It's Aileen.
I will do that. Definitely. Okay.
And I hope all of our listeners and watchers will show their thumbs up to Aileen for coming on the show and being so brave to talk about, you know, how the keto diet affects someone with diabetes. So I hope everyone gives her a thumbs up really quick. That way we all know that you're interested in hearing more about her story. So Aileen, let's start off with some easy questions. Tell us how old you are, how tall you are, maybe your starting weight, that kind of good stuff.
Sure. So I am 32 years old. My birthday is actually later this month. And I am 5'8", and my starting weight earlier this year was 247 pounds. And as of this morning, I weighed in at 187 pounds. So I've lost a total of 60 pounds doing the Dirty Lazy Keto diet.
Oh my goodness. 60 pounds? Is that right?
That's right.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. And I could not have done it without your book and the Facebook group and everyone supporting me. So I'm very grateful.
Well, I am very grateful you wanted to come on the show today because, you know, a lot of people, Aileen, they ask me about diabetes and diabetics. They want to know, is Dirty Lazy Keto safe? Will it help them? And I don't have a lot of answers because I don't have diabetes. I mean, I'm sure I was headed in that direction, but I really appreciate that you're being vulnerable today and sharing, you know, some of your experience because it's made a big difference in terms of your diagnosis, right?
Yeah. As of my last appointment, they said that my diabetes is controlled. And that my A1C, which when I was diagnosed with diabetes, it was 9.9, and my fasting glucose was 199, which anything over 100 is, you know, abnormal. So now, as of last month, my last appointment, my A1C is 5.5, which is completely normal. And my fasting glucose is, let me see, I have it written down. It's 83. So that's also below the 99 threshold. So they were really impressed that I was able to do that with only like 4.5 months from my original diagnosis. So they said they wish all of their patients had taken their diagnosis so seriously and made these changes. So it's wonderful to be able to say, you know, I had diabetes. I still have it, but it's under control and my levels are now within a normal, healthy range.
That is amazing. I mean, I was looking at your pictures today, your weight loss before and after pictures, you know, and I was impressed with this. I'm like, look how adorable and cute you are in both of these pictures. And you've lost 60 pounds in such a short amount of time. But I think what impresses me more, Aileen, is that you're telling me you're able to have your diabetes type 2 under control. And that to me is so much more important, so life-changing compared to what kind of size pants you wear. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Especially being so young, getting that diagnosis was just heartbreaking. It plunged me into a very depressed state because I thought, wow, like this is my life now. I'm 32 and I'm going to have to measure my blood sugar. I'm going to have to take insulin for the rest of my life. Is this it? And I really thought that there was no hope that I was just going to have to live that way because I was a true carb addict. Like I ate pasta once, maybe twice, almost every single day. I ate sushi. When I would hear people talk about low carb lifestyles, I would think, oh, that's, I could never do that. And it really took the diabetes diagnosis for me to sort of be the kick in the pants that I needed to, as a wake up call, that I couldn't continue living this way. Because, you know, diabetes comes with a lot of health effects. You know, it causes you to not have energy. It causes you to, you know, problems with your feet, with mobility issues. And being so young, I just feel like I have so much left I want to do in my life that I didn't want that holding me back and preventing me from doing things.
Well, it certainly hit home for you. It sounds like you got your diagnosis, and not only did it shock you, but it really kind of prompted you to take action.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was within 2 days. A friend of mine actually found your book and sent me the link for it. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Can I do low carb? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try, because I'm willing to do anything at this point. And I ordered your books and I started reading the first one. And it really struck me that I was able to relate to you with how, I don't know, just laid back, funny, and real that you kept your writing style, that it made me feel like, okay, if she could do this, then I can do it too.
You're gonna make me cry. No, I appreciate you saying that, because it's really hard to talk about these things. You know what I mean? It's uncomfortable. I feel embarrassed about having weight issues and I don't want to talk about them. And for me, I think writing was a way I could kind of release some of that and process some of what I was going through. So the fact that I was able to connect with you, a stranger across the world, and to help you with your diabetes, I mean, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, it is embarrassing, because I remember when I was first diagnosed, I had written a Facebook post saying, oh, I just got a call from my doctor's office that they want me to come in immediately. And I thought at that time that I perhaps had like a cancer diagnosis, because I've previously had thyroid cancer. So I thought maybe my cancer would come back. So I posted something on Facebook. And then when I had to come back and reply to everyone, oh no, it's not the cancer, it's just diabetes, I was so embarrassed, because it's basically like, cancer is not your fault when you get it, but type 2 diabetes, it was my fault, basically, my eating habits, my lifestyle choices. So it was really embarrassing to kind of have to like put that out there for everyone.
But you're right, there's a total stigma associated with type 2 diabetes, where people don't even feel comfortable asking for help because they worry it's all, you know, eating and lifestyle. They worry it's all their fault. So why should they need help, or why should people try to be there and support them? It's really a catch 22.
Oh, definitely. Because I mean, you talk to people and they just say, well, it's self-induced type 2 diabetes. It's your own fault that you get it. So I didn't really like talking about it or want to talk about it with people, because I just felt like they were going to be judging me and thinking, well, you're just fat and lazy, and that's why you got this.
There was something you posted, Aileen, in the Facebook group, which it really struck me. And I wrote it down. I hope you don't mind. But you wrote, sometimes the motivation comes after you start and you can see and feel the results. When I read that from you, it really connected to me, because I think when we get a diagnosis like diabetes or, you know, any kind of medical scare, we don't know if things are going to work, and we don't really want to try, and we're scared and we're resentful and angry, but we know we have to do something. But I love how you said sometimes the motivation comes after you start and you see and feel the results. Do you still feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously my story, I was partially motivated by the diagnosis, but I think it was more like fear and desperation, and not necessarily that I wanted to change. But once I like started seeing, oh my gosh, I can lose like a pound over a couple of days, or, and not even just the weight loss, but the non-scale victories, like having more energy, not feeling so tired all the time, or like I have to eat to feel a certain way. I mean, instead of looking to food for comfort or for sustenance, to help fill a void. It's now more of like, well, I'm eating so that I have energy. I think my relationship with food has really changed a lot because of this.
And that's surprising to you?
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about like how I've eaten my whole life, to have such a drastic change in such a short time frame, I just wouldn't have expected that to happen.
It is pretty surprising. I continually am amazed by that. It's like, I had some guacamole earlier today. And then I was thinking, like, before we started, should I have a snack? You know, like, I'm always snack conscious. Like, I don't, you know, go outside without thinking about food. So I'm like, but I'm not even hungry. And it was tripping me out. I'm like, that little bit of guacamole, I'm still good to go. But I mean, I hear what you're saying. It's like, you go from this whole lifestyle of like thinking about food one way, where you kind of are eating all the time, or, you know, constantly reaching for carbs for energy. And then suddenly that changes, where you're not necessarily craving food or snacks to get that boost. It's weird.
Right. Yeah. And I've also found that foods I did not like before, I actually now enjoy. And I remember at the beginning, I did not think that was possible. I remember reading in your book about how, you know, your taste buds changed. I was like, no, my taste buds aren't going to change. But they really do. After you eat this way a while, things start tasting good. I never thought I'd enjoy eating broccoli, but now I eat it every day. And I'm like, I love my broccoli. Like, give me some broccoli.
And I know there's people out there listening. They're like, girl, she's crazy. But yeah, it's true. It is so true. Yeah. And I agree with you 100%, where my whole life people forced me to eat, you know, spinach and broccoli, and my parents would yell at me. And I always thought it was punishment. I didn't understand that you could actually use fat to make healthy food taste good. It was shocking.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's funny. You crack me up already.
Okay.
I heard you, on a more serious note, I should say, I heard you mention a few of health issues that you've had in the past. You know, you hinted about thyroid cancer and you had a complete thyroidectomy. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed. I had a nodule and they biopsied it and they said, oh, there's no cancer, but it was like the size of a golf ball. So they recommended that I have that removed. So I had that half, the right half removed. But then they, when they, you know, sampled that after they took it out, they found I did have cancer. So as a precaution, yeah, which was like such a bummer, because then I had to go back in for another surgery to have the other half removed.
That is so frustrating. So they couldn't have tested it while you were there. It's like, come on, people.
Yeah, and just take the other half. I had to wait like a month between surgeries. So, it was really frustrating. And after you have that, for those who don't know, the thyroid really helps regulate your metabolism. So without having a thyroid, you take a synthetic version of the hormone, which is called Synthroid. And so for the past 2 years, my doctors have been sort of adjusting the dose to try to get it right. And it's varied from like too low to too high and back and forth, but that's also been really difficult, because that impacts your energy levels. Because if your thyroid hormone levels aren't right, then you don't have enough energy, or you're tired all the time, or if it's too high, you're not sleeping well. So you're also tired. So I think I was using that sort of as a crutch and an excuse to say, well, my thyroid levels are off and that's why I'm gaining weight, or that's why I can eat what I want, because I need the comfort because I'm dealing with these issues.
Right. So yeah, I hear that one. That's pretty common for all of us, and me included, where, you know, you're not feeling good or you're dealing with really severe health issues. And the first thing you want to do is the thing we've always done, is to eat for comfort. That's pretty normal. I think people don't forgive themselves enough for that, or acknowledge that maybe is even happening.
Yeah, it was just normal for me.
Yeah. And it sounds like with the taking a thyroid replacement, that's something you're going to be dealing with for the rest of your life, like taking a Synthroid or a generic type of a pill.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'll have to take one every day for the rest of my life to help, you know, give my body the hormone.
You know, I hear this a lot, Aileen, where people come to me and they say, I'm hypothyroid and I take a pill from my doctor, so I can't do DLK. And I'm always like, what? I mean, what do you have to say to that? It sounds like you might have an answer.
I mean, I take the generic form of Synthroid, and I've taken it for 2 years. And when at my most recent appointment with my endocrinologist, she was thrilled with me changing my diet and doing this way of life. So I guess, you know, obviously speak to your doctor, but I think that this is a great way to live and can really help people with thyroid issues.
Wonderful. Couldn't have put it better myself. I'm always like, you know, just we all have something. I think that whether it's type 2 diabetes or, you know, dealing with thyroid issues, everybody's got something. And, you know, keeping that in mind and knowing that eating healthy is still doable, I think it's important to remind ourselves of that, that we shouldn't use these things as crutches, kind of like what you said, and think about more about solutions.
Right. Absolutely. And not use things as an excuse to continue on with your bad lifestyle. You know, look at it as a reason to get healthy instead.
Well, it's impressive that you immediately, you know, got your diagnosis of the type 2 diabetes and then said, I'm going to do something about it, because not everybody does that. So what do you think made it special for you? I'm curious, because I have several friends in this boat and I'd love to tell them your advice.
I think I thought about all the things that I was going to miss out on if I let my diagnosis spiral out of control. You know, I have things, goals that I want to, you know, do in the future. I want to buy a house. I want to foster and adopt kids. And if I'm really ill and don't have energy and am not mobile, then I won't be able to do those things. So that's kind of what motivated me.
So it sounds like for you, you were thinking about more like bigger picture, longer term goals, and less about like, I'm not going to eat a bagel for breakfast, or I can't eat pancakes anymore. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're right, like thinking about mobility and being able to achieve our dreams. So that makes sense that it motivated you to really kick into gear and take some action.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, do I want to just sit on the couch the rest of my life and eat pasta and watch TV? Or do I want to change my eating habits and have energy to go out and do stuff and accomplish my goals?
Yeah. Easier said than done. So what specific steps did you take? It sounds like your doctor was on board. So that's great. What did that look like? As far as you mentioned, you read, I think probably my first book, The Dirty Lazy Keto Get Started. It sounds like that one, maybe. Okay.
I read that one. I bought your cookbooks. I also joined. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
I joined the Facebook groups, the recipes and inspiration support groups. And I found that those are really helpful to, you know, see and be inspired by other people that are going through this journey along with you, especially if you have people in your life that like are sabotaging you or maybe aren't supporting you. It's nice to have that group to be with. I also cleared out all of the carb food from my house. Since I'm single, I was able to do that so that I could get rid of all of that temptation. So I donated a lot of it or just threw away. And I basically started out keeping it as simple as possible because I know for me, if I have to cook a lot of elaborate meals, that it wasn't going to be something that was sustainable for me to do long term. Because that, I think, is part of the allure of my old life of like just boiling water and cooking pasta was so easy. And that's partially why I did it. So finding easy things, investing in an air fryer and an Instapot were sort of my investments into myself and into this new way of life. And they're really helpful to, you know, make hard boiled eggs really quickly, or chicken, or, you know, whatever vegetables you can put in either one. And it just helps lessen the amount of prep and cook time you have to take. So I found that those things were really helpful to me. Just recently, I've kind of stalled a little bit on my weight loss, which is to be expected. I've lost a lot of weight in a short amount of time. But I've reached the point now where I have to add exercise in. Oh, the dreaded exercise.
I totally remember when that happened to me, by the way. I was so mad. I'm like, wait a minute, what happened to that magic? What? I don't want to go outside. It took me like forever to figure that out. So You're brave for getting there so quick.
And I watched some of your videos. I'm still in denial about it. So I was like, well, I'm still losing like 3 pounds a month, like five pounds a month. Still losing something. So just last week, actually, I'm now doing at least like 20 minutes a day of cardio, to see how, you know, that impacts it. And I've already seen like my resting heart rate has decreased. So, I think that will be good too for my energy, but I think having a plan is the biggest thing I can say to people, is knowing what you're going to eat so that it takes the anxiety out of like being hungry and then, well, what do I have? And then going for something easy that's carb loaded. So plan.
That is some great advice, sister. So it sounds like, just to recap, you know, you cleared out the junk, you made some plans about what you were going to eat, and you made sure to keep meals simple. You wanted to make sure they were as simple as boiling water used to be for pasta, as well as finding support online, the Facebook group, the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook support group, and having those recipes on hand. Did I miss anything there? That was some really good advice.
No, and I also had a couple friends that were doing this with me. So we would weigh in with each other once a week. And that was also cool too, to have accountability partners.
That's also super important. Yeah, the follow through and having that support and having someone that you know who you can trust to weigh in with and to keep track of.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Well, you are so impressive, Aileen. I'm so proud of you. And, you know, before we wrap up, I just have to ask you, and is there anything else I forgot to ask you? Was there any burning question or tip that you wanted to share? Because I know all the listeners have probably a ton of questions for you.
I just want to say to everyone to stay encouraged and stay motivated, because even if you don't see results right away on the scale, you will experience non-scale victories and have more energy and just be healthier overall. So stick with it, everybody.
Stick with it. Well, friends, if you enjoyed this video from Aileen about her dirty keto diet weight loss results, as well as how she learned to manage and reverse diabetes type 2, be sure to stay tuned, because I'm going to link up another video below of a similar success story so that you can kind of binge watch and get yourself going in the right direction. But know, listeners and viewers, that the keto diet is safe for diabetes. For type 2 diabetes, of course, work with your doctor, but this is a safe way of eating. No one's telling you to do anything weird. I mean, we're talking about vegetables and healthy fats and protein. This is just normal food, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. So transformation is possible no matter what obstacles you face, whether it's a thyroid or cancer or mean family members, living alone, doesn't matter. You can still do it. So I encourage everyone to write comments and say congratulations to Aileen in the comment section, and cheer her on, right? Like, cheer her on and ask her specifics, because she's here to answer and be a source of inspiration for all of you. So let's give Aileen a huge round of applause, everybody, as we say goodbye. And a thumbs up. Yay, Aileen. Well, that about wraps it up, folks. Thanks so much for listening and for being part of the Dirty Lazy Keto community. I'm here to support you. I am here to help. Would you like to be notified when a new episode drops? Sign up for my free newsletter so we can keep in touch. Enter your email at dirtylazyketo.com and I'll just send you quick notifications when something new is going on. My newsletters are free, of course, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Did you enjoy today's podcast? Do me a favor, tell a friend. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the Dirty Lazy Keto podcast. I believe in you, my friend. I know you can do this. See you next week, keto superstars.